Welcome to Torah Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Zamira Ozarowski, and today we will be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Pehei 85. Mizmor 85, composed by the sons of Korach, reflects on past redemption while expressing a deep longing for future salvation. As we discussed yesterday, the sons of Korach serve as the ultimate example of tshuva and divine mercy. Though they were initially part of their father's rebellion and were swallowed by the earth, their last moment tshuva saved them from death. If anyone can instill hope in the Jewish people that tshuva brings salvation, it is them. This mizmor is written for all generations, providing a tefillah for those in distress and a reminder that returning to Hashem leads to Him saving us. However, knowing the personal story of Korach's sons allows us to see the subtle yet powerful references woven into the words, from the repeated mentions of the earth and to the themes of mercy following judgment and truth emerging from the ground. Their firsthand experience shapes the very essence of the mizmor, making it not just a plea for salvation, but a testament to the transformative power of tshuva. The mizmor opens in verses 1 to 4 with gratitude for Hashem's past redemptions. Ratzita Hashem Artecha, Hashem, you have appeased your land. Shafta Shvut Yaakov, you have brought back Yaakov, the Jewish people. When the mizmor describes Hashem as having appeased the land, it signifies the shift from divine anger and punishment, expressed through the land itself, to rachamim, to mercy in return. According to Dat Mikra, this could refer to a period when the land was devastated, whether through destruction or drought, but is now set to be rebuilt or replenished with rain. However, considering that the authors are the sons of Korach, we can see a deeper personal dimension to these words. Hashem used the earth as the very instrument of their punishment, opening the ground to swallow them. Yet, after serving their time underground, where they were spiritually refined and purified in their unique experience of Gehenim, Hashem accepted their tshuva. In the end, they were rescued from their punishment of the land itself. Their words, therefore, carry not just national gratitude for Hashem's mercy in the past, but a deeply personal testimony of divine justice and compassion. Nasata avon amecha, you've forgiven the sins of your people, this is verse 3. Kisita kochatutam, you have covered all their sins. Verse 4, asafta kol evretecha, you have withdrawn all of your wrath. Hashivota micharonopecha, you have turned back from your burning anger. Once again, the sons of Korach draw from their own story to deliver a powerful message. Both national and personal sins can be erased through tshuva and Hashem's mercy. Their words serve as an inspiration. If they, who were part of such a terrible rebellion, could be forgiven, then surely all Jews can find their way back to Hashem through sincere tshuva. In verses 5 to 8, after recalling Hashem's past kindness, the mizmor shifts to a plea for renewed salvation. Shuva eleinu Elokei Yishenu, return to us, O God of our salvation, ve'afer kasra imanu, and undo your anger against us. Hashem, just as in the past, we as individuals have seen how you reversed your anger against us and forgave us even as we were being swallowed into the ground, and we as a nation have seen you forgive us and save us time and time again from our enemies, from drought, and from all forms of suffering, please, in your great mercy, continue to have rachamim, to have mercy on us now. Halolam te'anaf banu, will you be angry with us forever? Timshuch apecha lador vador, will you draw out your wrath for all generations? This is verse 6. This verse captures the profound fear of unending suffering, a sentiment that is echoed through generations of Jews suffering in galut, in exile. The sons of Korach personally understood this fear. As we mentioned earlier, the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes how they were left suspended in a unique state, neither fully condemned to Gehenim like the rest of Korach's followers, nor immediately redeemed. Instead, Hashem placed them in a high ledge within Gehenim, where they were overturned like meat in a pot every 30 days. Though they ultimately merited salvation during that uncertain period, they had no idea how long their suffering would last. They recognized that perhaps they were being given a second chance, but they did not know for how long they would remain in that state. Would Hashem's anger last forever? Would they be trapped in there indefinitely? Their personal experience gives this pasuk new depth. It is not just a theoretical question, but an echo of their own personal uncertainty. Halo ata tashuv techayinu. For you will return and revive us, v'amcha yisam chubach, and your people will rejoice in you. Here, the B'nai Korach and all who recite this mizmor throughout history answer the question that they just posed in the previous pasuk. Deep down, we all know that Hashem will not remain distant forever. He will return to us, revive us, and provide us for all our needs once we have received our punishment and done tshuva. The sons of Korach were swallowed into the earth, yet ultimately survived, experienced firsthand that Hashem can lift a person from the depths of despair. Their own salvation serves as proof that Hashem's mercy is endless, and they use their story to assure all generations that divine forgiveness is always within reach. The simcha described here is not merely about being saved, it is the profound joy of reuniting with Hashem after a period of separation. Ha'reinu Hashem chastecha, verse 8, show us your kindness, Hashem, v'yeshecha titin lanu, and grant us your salvation. In verses 9 to 14, the Dat Mikra explains that after pleading for forgiveness and Hashem's salvation, the B'nai Korach actually receive a response from Hashem through their prophetic insight. Verse 9, Ashma'a, I opened my ears, Ma'i daber hakel Hashem, and was able to hear what Hashem our God spoke. Ki daber shalom el amo, Hashem said, all of the shalom, the peace that we spoke about in earlier Pesukim, the El Chasidav, and all the good that you mentioned that was done to the nation in the past, ve'al yashuvak likisla, all that peace and goodness, it's conditional on if they don't go back to their foolish ways. The Dat Mikra explains that the message that B'nai Korach received from Hashem is as follows. The peace and goodness they long for, the redemption they seek, it all hinges on one condition. Hashem warns his people and his devoted followers not to return to kisilut, to foolishness, and from there to sin. As Chazal teach, Ein adam over avira, a person does not sin, ela im kein nichnas bo ruach shtut, unless a spirit of foolishness first entered into him. Dat Mikra says, Klomar, dibor shalom, in other words, Hashem's promise of shalom, of peace, al tnayu, it's conditional, shelo yashuv lachto od, it depends on their continued commitment to righteousness and avoiding past mistakes. Hashem goes on to give a message of hope delivered through the B'nai Korach in Pasuk Yod, verse 10. Ach karov li reav yisho, indeed his salvation is close to those who fear him, lishkon kavod baratzinu, so that his glory may dwell in our land. The parak then shifts to a vision of future redemption, emphasizing the moral and spiritual foundations for salvation. Chesed ve'emed nifkashu, verse 11, kindness and truth have met, tzedek v'shalom nashaku, righteousness and peace have kissed. Redemption occurs when these attributes work in harmony, kindness, truth, justice, and peace. Verse 12, emet me'eretz titzmach, truth will grow and sprout from the land, v'tzedek mishamayim nishkaf, and justice will look down from the heavens. For B'nai Korach, this verse was more than just symbolic. It was their lived experience. Truth, emet, literally emerged from the ground, me'eretz titzmach. Until the moment the earth swallowed them, they had been trapped in falsehood, believing that Moshe and Aaron had unjustly seized power. But from within the depths of the earth, they finally recognized the truth. Their cry, Moshe, emet v'toratau emet, Moshe is true and his Torah is true, erupted from the ground, a testimony to their newfound clarity. They also came to understand the second half of the pasuk. Tzedek mishamayim nishkaf, justice comes from Hashem, from the sky, not from human intervention. They now understand that they did not need to battle what they perceived as injustice. Hashem himself would ensure that true justice prevails. The Mizmor ends in verses 13 to 14 with a hopeful vision of the land flourishing under Hashem's blessing. Gam Hashem yitin hatov, Hashem will also give what is good, v'artzeinu titin yivula, and our land will yield its produce. This theme is especially meaningful for B'nai Korach. The land had once been a place of judgment, but now it gives forth blessing and nourishment. This pasuk reflects both a spiritual and physical renewal. Just as the land can become fertile again, so too can the people of Israel be restored. Verse 14, Tzedek lefanav yehalech, righteousness will go before him, v'yisein l'derech pa'amav, paving the way for his footsteps. This pasuk expresses the idea that that justice and righteousness are the foundation of Hashem's path. Wherever Hashem's presence is revealed, righteousness leads the way, ensuring that his will is carried out in the world. In conclusion, Tehillim 85, Pei-Hei is not just a song of hope for all of Bnei Israel. It is a song of personal transformation and redemption for the very people who wrote it. The sons of Korach became a living example of Hashem's mercy, proving that even those closest to destruction can do tshuva and be forgiven. Thank you for studying Le'iloi Nishmot Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Shevita Pleita. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.